just 10 days ago, I was zechet Avi Meiron. There's a lot of people there, in case anyone doesn't remember. So many people, it's really packed. Everyone's pushing, shoving, you can't get through. I tried to get into the front entrance, and you couldn't get in. So I figured I'll go in the back. And you see in the back, there's like this security guards, there's policemen, there's chaylim, there's everyone over there is making sure that I can't get up the steps. Okay, so I figure, listen, they're not letting me up the steps. They probably know what they're doing. I'll go back and get in the regular way. But when I'm over there, I see this guy. This guy is like in this big, like loud voice in Hebrew, and he's like saying to make sure everyone's able to hear. And he said, you know, if I was in charge, you know what I would do? I would make sure there's at least one of these ways you could get it, you get in. That's what he's saying. Okay. Beginning of the story. So I went around, I pushed my way through, I got into the dancing, I got into the tzion, I was there for 20 minutes, I came down, I came outside, and walking down the steps, trying to get down, and of course, when you're trying to get down the steps, there's always trying to get up. And lo and behold, I found myself next to that same guy. He's also walking down. He didn't get in that way, but he's coming down together with me. And he starts screaming at people trying to get up. Well, you don't see? They're not letting people get up. There must be a reason for it. So I decided that sometimes some people have to leave, you know, some people know better than me. And some people know better than him. That was my decision that I made. And when it comes to myself over here, I'm thinking to myself, you know, if, I don't feel allowed to say this, but if I was the one giving the Torah, when would we give the Torah? So, this is not only my question, Reb Chaim Shlevitz asked the same question, that a much better time to give the Torah would have been by Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf was a time where Klal Yisrael was never on such a high level. They were on the highest level ever can be, the highest level in Emunah, highest level in Nevuah, highest level that people could be. Hashem gave them a present and made them be able to see up in Shemayim, to see Malachim, to see everything. And because afterwards they got Biza Sayam, they said Shira Sayam, they were happy. This was a time you could be Makabel Torah. You're happy, you're enjoying, you had a nace happen to you, you feel good about it. Isn't this a time where someone accepted something, it's the way you want it, and you decided for now on I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it forever and ever? Well, Chara, that's the time to give the Torah, that's the time to be Makabel Torah, that's the best Kabbalah possible to be. Say for Reb Chaim Shlevitz. This film, we'll get back to it. Let me ask you another question that I saw in more than one place, but Rabbi Yashiv asked another question. It says, the whole Torah has so many mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. We know that Eretz Yisrael is a chosen land. Why don't we accept the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, where we could do all the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael with the Torah as soon as we get it? We get in the Midbar, then it takes 40 years, and just takes so long until we're going to end up getting the Torah. Wouldn't it have been better to be able to accept the Torah in the Heilige Eretz Yisrael, in a place where we could have the Beis HaMikdash, we could have the Karbanos, we could do everything the way you want, the way it's meant to be, as opposed to doing it in the Midbar? Let's move on for 1 minute, or for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Shavuos. Translation of Shavuos is weeks. I would say it's a weak translation for a yontif. Just thought of it now. The name of a yontif is weeks. Every other yontif has a reason. Pesach, Passover, right? Sukkot, we were in Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. Yom Kippur. Everything makes sense. Where do we get Shavuos from? Why Shavuos? What does that have to do with Shavuos? Obviously, it doesn't have to do with the time. It has to do with the weeks. What happens in the weeks? What does it mean, weeks? What are we doing these past weeks? So we know, we're counting. We're counting days, and we're counting weeks. So Shavuos has to do with the fact that we're counting. Shavuos is a preparation for something. We're counting for something. The famous chinuch. Everyone knows the chinuch. that the reason why we have Sfira is to count for when the Heilig Day of Kabbalah Satara is. There's nothing more important to us than Kabbalah Satara, right? So we're counting. It's so exciting. Shavuos is the one day that we're looking forward to. So let's count. When is it going to be? Keep on counting. There's still a question. There's two ways to count. You can count up and you can count down. I know there's a bachur in yeshiva. At the day after Shavuos, he's going somewhere for his sister's wedding. So he's also counting. But he's counting, he has 8 days left, and I'm up to 43. We count differently. What's the reason? Why are we counting? Why? It should be, if it's counting, it's counting. If it's not counting, if that's not counting towards something, it's counting away from something. Since when do we have that kind of counting? The Bali Musar explain as follows. We're counting towards Kabbalah Satara. That's Mefurish in the Chinuch. You can't get out of that. We're counting towards Kabbalah Satara. Why are we counting backwards? Obviously, in order to have Kabbalah Satara, there has to be preparation. And we are counting the days of preparation. How many days did we prepare? So I prepared for 43 days. That's since the first day of Pesach, when we brought a karban, until the time of Shavuos, until Kabbalah Satara, we're preparing. And it's 49 days of preparation. So we're counting the days of preparation. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to make Kabbalah Satara, if we prepare properly. And if we don't prepare properly, we're not going to have a proper Kabbalah Satara. So we're counting towards it. But the only way to get to it is to realize, what do we have under our belt? Now we have 43 days. We need 49 days in order to be Kabbalah Torah properly. Okay. So we need to prepare. We need to work. What do we need to do? And how do we do it? In Kelm, they had a minig that they... there's 48 Kinyanei HaTorah. And they did one each day. The last day, they did the 49th, all 48. That's how they prepared. Kinyan HaTorah, you take a look. All the Kinyan HaTorah, doesn't have to do with learning. Some of them have to do with learning, but some have to do with Avos Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Ema, has to do with not sleeping, it has to do with being nice to your friends. There's all different kinds of things. That doesn't have to do with Torah itself. What's the pshat? How does this work? I made a bracha before. I'd like to go through three seemingly stiras or questions that people could have in things that are related to either Shavuos or maybe last week's parsha drop. There was a king. And the king was looking for a place to build his capital, where he was going to live. He had just conquered a new country, and he decided he's living in this country. He was a big king. He wanted to know where to live. So he comes, obviously the king is going to go to the big city. He goes into the big city with his whole entourage, with everything he has. And he comes and he's Kaveh Makom over there. He starts building and he starts doing and he starts talking to people. And the more he talks to people, the more he sees that everyone's running away from him. No one wants to be near him. And I understand them. It's scary to be near a king. He'll tell you what to do. No one really is interested. We had a good life before he came. What do we need him here? He felt it. He was a smart king. He chapped the matziv and he booked. So instead of being on this side of the country with the big city, he went to the whole other side of the country. He figured maybe over there they're a little more understanding. Maybe they know people a little better. And they'll appreciate him. He goes over there, the same thing. Same thing. He said, he's not even wasting time. He left. He didn't know what to do. Walking, he's traveling through the country. He sees like a nice area, quiet place. Some people live there. It wasn't a big town. But They were nice people. They saw the king was coming. They ran out. They greeted him. They honored him. They respected him. Everything he deserved. Wow. This is a nice place. Right over here, I'm going to make my dwelling place. And over here, he built the capital, and that became the capital of his kingdom. Says the Medrash that Hashem was looking for a place to live. He didn't know where to live. He started in the Yam. Hayom Rav Ayonos. Ran away. Yam is not a place for me. He looked in the mountains. The mountains ran away also. Where is he going to make it? Doesn't know. Until he found the Midbar, and he decided, the Midbar is where I'm going to give my Torah. That's where I'm going to find my dwelling place. The Torah is Hashem's dwelling place. That's where he's going to give the Torah. We learned, Rashi in the beginning of the parasha says that ain't divrei Torah miskaimim ella b'mi shenase oisa atzme hefker kemidbar. You have to be hefker like a midbar. So the only way Hashem is giving the Torah, the only way the Torah is going to work is if we make ourselves into nothing, and to make ourselves whatever Hashem wants, that's what we're going to do. Subservient to Hashem. That is how Torah, that is the only way you could be mekabel the Torah, and that's when Hashem is going to give the Torah. I have a question. First of all, Hashem gave the Torah in the Midbar, but he gave the Torah on a mountain. Okay, but I'm saying, okay, so you're telling me that it wasn't the highest mountain, there was bigger mountains. It's true, it's a nice song. But the fact is, it was on a mountain. Hashem gave it on the mountain. So you told me he could only give the Torah in the Midbar. I was on the Midbar, but the Torah is on the mountain. So we use the mountain. It's not like we're not dealing with the mountain. It's still not total Midbar. And there's even a more important question. If Torah is only good in the Midbar, eventually we took it to Eretz Yisrael. We have Torah in Eretz Yisrael. We have Torah wherever we are. How is Torah working in other places? When Hashem was excited about that time that he was giving the Torah, what about the rest of the time? What about forever, where the tachlis of Torah was to be in Eretz Yisrael? So we knew that it was going to get to Eretz Yisrael, so what does it help to give it only in a Midbar? That's question number one. Question number two, by Midbar, Sefer by Midbar is called Chumash HaPikudim, and it's counting, the counting Sefer. It's always started before Shavuos. Parshas Bamidbar is almost always read the Shabbos before Shavuos. Why? What's so special about that? Rav Moshe Feinstein brings down that Rashi says that there's something special about counting. Counting has something special to it. Every person, when you're counting people, every person is important because you're counting each person. So therefore, that's a lesson that a person has to know before he accepts the Torah, that yes, I'm important, I can do it. I'm meaningful, I can make it big. In Torah, in Kabbalah, the Torah is becoming a person. I have the ability to get somewhere, I can do it. And that's the lesson we're learning in Parshas Bamidbar every single year. My question is, which I've seen this question before, I hope I'm not going too far by asking the question. Counting could be good. Counting could be good, but counting is not always good. We all remember, L'chari, we all remember seeing people that have a number on their arm. They were also counted. Was that good? Not good. Not good. Numbers are, the counting doesn't always mean because you love them. Rashi says you count it because you love it. So money, I like counting, but some things I don't necessarily like counting. You have a bunch of cattle, you drive in a, you drive wherever you're going, and you see on the side of the road, you see an Arab with a whole bunch of goats, but he also counts the goat. That because he loves each goat. So what's so special? What's so special about counting? The answer is that the pasuk says something different over here. It says b'mispar shemois. It's counting, but names. When everything has a name, then everything, a name says what I can be. A name gives something special about a person. A person with a name, most of us have names from grandparents or chashuv yidden, or even if like it wasn't such a chashuv person, but if his name is Yaakov, it comes from someone chashuv. A name is trying to project us further, to make us consider chashuv. If you're counting with names, then it's chashuv. So then everyone has its own individuality if it's counting with name. Although counting is not always chashuv, but this counting was chashuv because it was counting with names. That's one way to answer it. However, I still feel that there's a somewhat of a stira, because the Torah was only given to Klal Yisrael as a unit. The Torah was only given to Klal Yisrael when it was Ke'ish Echad Belev Echad. We were all considered one. It doesn't go exactly just to each Yachid. Every individual got the Torah by himself. So how does the counting show individuality? And if it does show individuality, then there's a question that we see two sides. Sometimes you need individuality, and sometimes you need to be together. What is it? In the same parsha, Parshas Vamibar, we talk about the Degolim. Klal Yisrael was so excited when he saw the Degolim. They saw everyone. It's like if this was the Mikdash, the Mishkan, everyone was in formation. There was three shvatim here, three shvatim there, three shvatim here, and three shvatim here. That's 12 shvatim, and in the inside were the Levim, and everyone stayed that way. That's formation. It's like a big army. You see any individuality in that? So it's not only about individuality. There's more than that. We have to understand that. The last question were stira. Nasa v'nishma, and we know. Hashem is so excited when we say Nasa v'nishma. That's the one thing that showed that we cared, we loved Hashem, we'll do whatever He wants. Hashem is known to have said, Mi gila l'banai razeh. Who told the Klal Yisrael about the secret? It's such a great idea to be able to think about it. I can't imagine. They figured out to say Nasa v'nishma. Amazing. It says that Malachim came unto every one of Klal Yisrael and put on two crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. This was an amazing thing. It never ever happened before. Can't imagine it ever happening again. On the other hand, and during the time of Torah, we all know the one thing that Bochum love hearing, Kafaleim Harkagigas. Hashem took a mountain and told us what to do. We don't have a choice. You have to. You have no choice. They're two opposites. Either it was in our own free will, or we're being told what to do. That's a question that everyone has to have an answer to. Make up your mind. Do I want to do it, or I'm being told what to do? It's not the same thing. How can we put the two things together? It does not work. Why do you need both? More than that. If we said Nasa v'nishma, we want to do it already, so what do we need the mountain for? We're going to do it, and we want to do it. Why ruin it by telling us what to do? It just makes it so much harder and not enjoyable. If we do it because we want it, it's good. This man's going great. Why mess it up? That's one question. The Beis Halevi asks another question. How does Nasa v'nishma work? Why does Nasa v'nishma work? You don't even know what you're getting into. You accept it's something you don't know. Does that work? In regular kinyanim, it doesn't work. It's called davar shelo be'olam. Hashem can tell us this and this. I don't even know. So it doesn't mean anything to me. What does it mean? I'm being makabel something I don't understand? I don't know what it's going to be? It doesn't work. It's not chal. This is where we start getting towards the answer. Says the Beis Halevi, a big aside. If we were just being mekabel the mitzvahs that Hashem's going to give you, right? We don't know what's going to be. But over here there's something else. We weren't just mekabel mitzvahs. We were mekabel to be avadim to Hashem. We are meshubid to do Hashem. We are meshabid our guf to Hashem. Those of us who learned the sugis of Dalal Shalav Olam, you could be meshabid the dekel lipei roisav. I am now an eved to Hashem, and I have to do whatever He says because I'm an eved. Just like I could be kind an eved and then tell Him what to do, and He has to do it. So I gave myself my guf to Hashem. And now I have to do whatever He says. How does that work? So, I saw in a sefer from Rav Daron Gold, and he says a very, I think a deep daher. I might say it a little deeper than I read it, but I would like to explain it as follows. 400 years before the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Va'avodim v'inu oisam arba mea shana. Va'achrichein, and afterwards, Yeitzu b'rechush gadol, they're going to have great riches, amazing stuff. If you ask any Jew, God-fearing Jew, in Yiddishkeit, what's considered b'rechush gadol? Money or Torah? Money, right? Money. Ruchush Gadol, of course, Pashup Shah and the Pasig is Torah. And we say that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim to be able to get the Torah. That was the Ruchush Gadol that we're going to get. That's clear. That's Pashup Shah. Simply Pashup Shah. But before we were holding by leaving Mitzrayim, what happened? We're ready to go out. Power is pushing us out of Mitzrayim, bringing a Karban Pesach, and Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, wait, don't go out of Mitzrayim yet. Make sure you go to Mitzrayim and you borrow Kli Kesef and Kli Zov, Usmolas, and get everything. Because you need to take money, you need to take a Rechush Gadolah, you need money. You can't go out of Mitzrayim without money. And before the Gemara and Brachos, that they weren't interested in the money, they didn't need the money, they didn't want the money, they just wanted to get out with their nefesh. They were in the Memtesh Aryatuma. Get me out of here. If any another minute would have been forever, says the Baal HaGadol. Get out of here now. No. Don't forget about the cash. You get the money. And the Pella is that the Medrash says that Avraham Avinu that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you know why you gotta do this? Do me a favor, please do it. I'll tell you why. Because Avraham Avinu is going to come to me, and he's going to say, "Va'avodim v'inu oisam arba mea shana kiyamta v'hem." I hear Avraham Avinu was screaming at God, and he said, "You made them serve for 400 years. That you did. That part of the shvuah you kept. But va'achar yichen yisur b'chush gadol, you didn't do that." That's what Avraham Avinu is going to claim to Hashem, and therefore Hashem can't have Avraham Avinu on his back, and therefore you have to take the money, please take the money, otherwise I'm going to have Avraham on my head. It's mavur, by the way, in that Medrash Agav Orcha, that it's not a real taina, because if his whole problem is Avraham Avinu is going to scream, well, you only worry about Avraham Avinu? Hashem promised, keep your promise, what's it have to do with Avraham Avinu? The Shtarka Taina. It must be that really Rechush Gadol is talking about Torah. But my only problem is Avraham Avinu. It's going to be an earful. I can't handle Avraham Avinu now. And I'm being busy with taking Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu is going to talk about the money. Just get the money. Do me a favor. Apeladik Medrash. So if the Mongol says such an awesome word, and he says the Pshat is, Avraham Avinu's taina was Avraham Avinu Oisam Av Meishana. What does that mean? That why did Klal Yisrael have to go into Mitzrayim? Why do we need Mitzrayim to teach us how to be avodim? We're about to be mekabel the Torah. We're going to be avodim to Hashem. How are you going to make yourself into an avod to Hashem if you don't know how to do anything? You don't know how to be meshuvah to anyone. You don't want to listen to anyone. You do what you want, if you want, when you want. You can't be mekabel the Torah. We needed Mitzrayim. We needed to work in Mitzrayim. But says Avram Avinu, but now they left Mitzrayim. They were avodim for 210 years. And they were treated like animals. And they had, and avodim is true. They could keep every last letter of the Torah. But they're not going to find their personality. They're not going to find how big they can be. Everyone's just going to be like a slave. Like there's a slave and a master, and I just do what I have to do without any personality. Klal Yisrael without personality is not worth it. That's not being a kabbalah of the Torah. And that Torah is not Rechush Gadol, says Avraham Avinu. The only way that they're able to be makabel the Torah is if they have the Rechush Gadol. What's the Rechush Gadol? They feel good about themselves. They realize that they could be Gedolim, that they could be Chashiv. If they realize they could be Chashiv, then they're ready to get ready to be makabel the Torah. So Hashem said, please, please, get that good stuff. When you have a lot of money, you feel good about yourself. Even Jews coming out of Mitzrayim. Imagine. They went to the Midbar. What are they going to do with the money? Everyone in Thaisal had 12 donkey loads of gold and silver. 10? 90? 90. Okay, I don't know why I remember 12. 90 donkey loads of gold and silver. So I heard him saying, I think it was Don Gol, I don't know who said it. I heard it on tape once. It's for sure more gold and silver than any bank has in its vault anywhere in the world. Every single one of Klal Yisrael, it felt big about it. It felt big. It felt good. Someone who feels good can become something big. You have to feel like you have a personality. You have to feel like you're unique and you're special. That's the only way you become big. Let's get back into it's my first time, so. But yeah, without finishing, it doesn't count. The king wanted to find a place to live. Didn't know where to go. The place that he was able to find is a midbar. What's so special about a midbar? A person makes himself like a midbar. Anywhere else, it's not natural to be able to be an eved. The yam, in order for the yam to split, had to go against nature. That's not a good... So the yam ran away. Midbar, there's nothing there. You could just plain serve Hashem. So I want to be mechadish like this. That's where I have to be. But the Torah picks me up. The Torah is higher. Once I'm a kabbal of the Torah, which is given on a mountain because the Torah is higher, then I go up. If I go up, then I could go into Eretz Yisrael. And I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, and then we could work in Eretz Yisrael. And you could keep the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. That's not a problem. That's because I know who I am. I know how big I can be. I know how chashuv I am. Then I can keep the Torah in any place. So therefore, the Torah was given in the Midbar. And our Kabbalah HaTorah has to be a preparation. Kinyane HaTorah. Make ourselves better in order to be Makabal the Torah. And then if we become, Moshe Rabbeinu was un of Mikol Adam, he had no zich, he got the Torah as a matana. Once he got the Torah as a matana, so he was the biggest around. He could go to the top of the mountain. Kafa Aleim HaKagigas. Skip one for right now. Kafa Aleim HaKagigas. A person that says Nasa V'Nishma, if it's only if you want, when you want, how you want, so then that's not Kabbalah HaTorah. That's because I want to do it. So what's going to keep you? So then that's not real avdus. Real avdus Hashem is realizing that I want to do it, I could do it, I could be a big person, but I have to do it. So therefore, together with wanting to do it, you have to be able to be told what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And then you will be able to do what you can do the best. Individuality is only good. It's only good if you're able to put yourself into the system. there's, I'm not going to get too deep, but there's one, there's a new word that's been coming around. It's not so new. That really, I think it just came in. There's a word and a concept that I would say that I think I despise. It's, Rebbe, I'm not down. What does it mean I'm not down? What does it mean I'm not down? I'm not down to learn. So get down! That's what kamibar. Make your way. Do what you're supposed to. Of course you're not down. You're not supposed to be down. You're supposed to make yourself down. Get yourself into the mood. Kofa aleim harkagigas. That's the only way to do it. I can't be bothered. What does that mean? I don't understand. Why not? That's what we're here for. That's the whole. If you're not willing to change and to make yourself into a better person, then there's no way that it's. That's called Kabbalah Satara. Of course you want it, not Sefer Nishma. I want it on the Yam Suf. Of course it was Geshmak on the Yam Suf. Because we got all that money and we sold the Mitzrayim dead, of course I'll be Mekabel Torah then. But without personal work, without growth, without being able to make yourself into a better me, then even being together with everyone else is nothing. It's not fair if I don't say one more Yusayd. Okay? It's not fair to me, it's not fair to you. Okay? One more Yusayd is, Eliashiv says that the reason why Torah was given was had to be in the Midbar, and Eretz Yisrael would not have been good enough, is because in the Midbar it was really impossible to live. It was impossible to keep the Torah. There was no water. There was no food. There was nechashim and akravim all over. It was impossible to live, and it was only in Nes that we were able to exist. In that environment, you can be Mekabel Torah, where it's too hard. Sometimes it's too hard. But if you push, even when it seems like it's too hard, then just like in the times of the Midbar, we say that Lo Nitna Torah Ela Lo Oichle Haman. In the times of the Midbar, we are Mekabel Torah forever and ever. We should all be Zeicha to be Mekabel the same way the Torah forever.